to
follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Dustin Sweetelson. Pauly Howard is on vacation this week. And we have a three-hour banger lined up for you today. Tons to get into. Huge Major League Baseball cards. Some games either finished or in action late as we speak, with a big card coming up later on tonight. Spencer Aguiar is going to be on the program today in 30 minutes. PGA Tour analyst, teeoffsports.com. Typically, Jeff Seeley would be on the show. And in fact, he's off a weekend where he had Jackson Koivin to win the 3M Open. Oh. But Jeff is traveling today.
So we have to delay the victory tour then.
Yeah, but then if we push him back to next week, really, it's gone at that point, right? We can't celebrate then. It's 2 weeks late at that point. So
hey, he deserves his flowers for that call. I was literally doing live bets Saturday over the weekend. Oh. He was in the lead, and I looked at Ben Stevens. I said, who's the kid in first place? Ben goes, lists off everything about him, basically read me his Wikipedia page. I go, yeah, still don't know who that is.
Well, he's basically the next Tiger Woods, evidently.
Yeah,
or
apparently.
The next Scottie Scheffler. So Mike Palm on the program today as well. You cannot be serious. And we'll do a little WNBA and some baseball with him as well. I think we need to start with some National Football League. There was plenty of news today, Dustin. And I'm glad that you brought this up earlier in the week when you said, look, I know that a bunch of people here at the network are pro Atlanta this year, the Falcons, but you just can't get there. Neither can I. Look, I like a lot about the team. I like the schedule. I like the division they play in. I love their new head coach, right? I thought he got a completely, a raw deal in Cleveland. Let's put it that way, Stefanski, where the front office never had any clue what they were doing. And they have like good defensive parts. They have really good weapons on offense. Problem is, I can't get there with Tua.
I think people are crazy. I wish we could go find the tape from last year. The same people telling you that Tua was the problem in Miami and probably shouldn't be a starter in the league anymore are the same people trying to convince you that they can win the South because they got Tua Tagovailoa. Which one is it? And I was like the last person on the Tua train. I believe that there was something there, that there was a guy you could win football games with.
I want him to be good.
He can't throw the ball.
Yeah.
He literally can't throw the ball 25 yards in the air. I don't know what the expectation was going to be. Here's the problem. It's the NFC South. Has there ever been a bigger division that is an afterthought in all of American sports than the NFC South for about 15 years?
Well, for that long, not for one particular year, but you're talking about over the long haul, big stretch of time.
Brady was down there. There were moments where the Falcons were good, right? They made it to a Super Bowl. But when you go big picture, this division is mostly an afterthought when it comes to the entire landscape of the NFL.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. And here's the reason why we're bringing it up. If you haven't heard yet today, Tua is sidelined with what the team considers a flare-up of an undisclosed injury, according to coach Kevin Stefanski. And the guy, unfortunately for the guy, again, I really want to like the guy. He was a blast to watch at Alabama. But when you take that many shots to the head, you can only play football for, you know, such a short amount of time. And it clearly has had an impact on this guy, along with, oh, by the way, that year that he had a couple years ago was with Mike McDaniel as the play caller, was with a Tyreek Hill still in his prime, was with Jaden Waddle. He led the league in passing yards. So I could kind of see like, well, it's been there before. We've seen it. So I want to buy into it again. This is going to be the first of what, fill in the blank. How many injuries we hear about with Tua this year? Seven, eight, ten? It's over?
It's never ending. But here's the problem, Mitch. Michael Penix came out today and said he's out another 4 weeks.
That's exactly right. And for people who forgot about that, big deal there because he's off the right ACL surgery back in November. So he's not even close to being ready right now.
Yeah, he's running out of ACLs over there. I mean, no one's been like you, a guy who's had that many surgeries at this point. It's like you just can't assume he's ever going to be healthy. I really wonder if Brandon Sorsby was available, if they would have let him play in the league, if Atlanta would have burnt a pick on him.
Kick the tires on him?
Just the idea
just
of
to bring him in?
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, I mean,
dude, they so now they're signing Cooper Rush.
Been there before. We've seen how this is. But here's the thing about the South. Coming back to the South. Atlanta, quarterback questions. Tampa Bay, Baker Mayfield playing it out on the final year of his deal. Vita Vea asking for a trade. That is weird.
No
vibes.
More Mike Evans. Yeah,
no more Mike Evans. Carolina stinks. I don't care what anyone says, but Carolina might be the bet on principle based on the number and some of the dysfunction everywhere else. And I know everyone loves New Orleans. I know you love New Orleans. Here would be my one pushback of the Saints, because I keep hearing about, well, they were super competitive down the stretch last year. Shuck looked like the dude, and I actually kind of like Tyler Shuck, but I don't know if he's special. Let's keep in mind the context of who they beat. The Giants at Carolina versus Carolina. They swept them. They beat Tampa Bay. They beat Tennessee, and they beat the Jets.
Boy, those are some pretty good wins. I don't know what you're talking about. I like what you're reading off here. It makes me like the Saints even more this upcoming season.
I mean, the only impressive wins were the two teams in the division.
Look, I am going to be a very, I'll just tell you right now, I'm going to be a very annoying honk for Tyler Shuck the entire year.
Hey.
I'm going to be. I'm dug in so deep on the guy that, and if it goes sideways, then I'm just going to have to jump out of the plane and admit that it was a huge mistake, but, and bail on the guy. I have him every which way but loose again this year. The Saints and Tyler Shuck. He's my long shot MVP. I fully expect him to have a massive season.
Look, what I'd say based on everything I just brought up, if you have conviction in any of these teams, fire on it and hope you're right, because this could go many different ways this year. And speaking of your Saints, Brian Breece, defensive tackle, feared to have suffered a torn ACL today. Only 2.5 sacks last year, but had 7.5 2 years ago in 2024. That is a miss for them. This division is just always so weird. But if I'm betting it right now, Atlanta is a team I'm crossing off the list because I don't have any certainties at quarterback.
So to me, I'll be completely honest here about the Falcons, and why would I not be? Their numbers are tantalizing. I can't deny it. Like almost 5-1 to win that division with their roster overall, right? The win total of 6.5, even some nice plus money over 7.5. However, I really can't get myself to bet a positive outcome on a team. Now get this. I looked everywhere today. There isn't a single sports book, legally speaking, across the country that has a regular season prop listed on either one of their quarterbacks. I can't do it.
That speaks.
It's kind of a big deal, that position.
Is there a trade that they can make for a quarterback? Is there someone where, I mean, obviously Cleveland's got too many guys, but I'm not sure they're really wanting to do anything there with Watson and Shador, and I guess Dylan Gabriel still exists for some reason. Because based on everything on this roster, like infrastructurally, the defense took such a massive leap last year. Look, the pass rush is going to leave a little bit to be desired this season, but they bought Lowe and Mason Smith at nose tackle. They have a secondary that's returning just about everyone from a year ago. They added Avion Terrell from Clemson, who I think is going to be a very solid corner playing with his brother there. Billy Bowman returns from injury for them. And then the weapons. You have Bijan. You have on the outside Drake London, who was a true number one. And then Kyle Pitts was as dominant down the stretch.
It's
you're literally a quarterback away from the Atlanta Falcons being not just a contender in the South, but maybe a contender to win the NFC.
Yeah, maybe. I don't back to the NFL here in a minute. I want to do this because we have a baseball game starting in less than 3 minutes right now, and we each have a bet on this game. The Rockies are playing the Padres. Crazy game last night at Petco. San Diego came roaring back to win the game 8-7. My bet is this, and I bet it late last night before the game after I realized that Jackson Merrill has been kind of on fire. And he got there again last night. So in this game today, I'm on Jackson Merrill, 2+ total bases. I grabbed +116 on that. He's heating up, folks. He has 8 hits in his last 3 games. So I'm riding that wave with Jackson Merrill today.
I like it. I'm going to go with a player prop as well. We're going with the pitcher for Colorado, Gabriel Hughes. He's actually been pretty solid. 2.79 ERA in July, 19 strikeouts, 19 and a third innings. So about 1 per inning there. I don't know how deep he's going into this game against the San Diego offense, the way they're swinging the sticks. And also, if you look at the Padres' last 3 games, their K rate is down to 13.1% over the last 3. That's the second lowest in all of baseball.
13%?
13.1% last 3 games.
Wow.
Second best in baseball. I don't know who's number one. I didn't write that down. But looking at this game, Griffin Canning's going to come in for Kyle Hart at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously I'm not going to lay -189, but I do think San Diego gets the job done here. But under 4.5 strikeouts for Gabriel Hughes, I think the Padres either knock him out early or he just doesn't get to that number because they're putting the ball in play.
It's a good bet. I wonder if I have time to tail you on that in the next 40 seconds or so. So there you go.
I paid some juice, -138.
Okay. I wanted to bring this up, by the way, because you're getting married next April.
I am.
Did you see the news today where it's official? Justin Herbert. And I'm not joking here. Matt Eumanns on VSiN will make a big deal out of this. He's not going to be on the Chargers this year because of this. He is now engaged to Madison Beer, his fiance.
Oh, I saw that. I also learned recently Madison Beer did music. I thought she was just like a TikTok dancing influencer.
That's what I thought too.
But apparently she does music. Or maybe that's like you start off as one and you transition to the other.
I went in today just trying to get some information on her overall, some more information.
Uh-huh.
And the videos that popped up, I'm like, is my wife watching me right now? Because I'm like, holy smokes, dude.
Well, also, you know what you did now? Because I don't know if you do this with your wife.
The algorithm?
We'll watch videos together. And if you stay in a couple videos too long, guess what? The next time you're watching with your significant other, that algorithm thinks you want what you saw last time. And you might be in a little bit of trouble.
Remember yesterday how I told you, like, I crave pizza like 3.5 times a week?
Yeah.
I purposely, with my Instagram account, search pizza all the time. So that's the number one thing that pops up, regardless of what else I might be looking at for maybe a little bit too long amount of time.
Oh, I've got some weird stuff. We went over it a few weeks ago in a numbers game when I filled in. I watch cow hoof shaving videos. Very satisfying. You get their hoofs worked on.
So it's so satisfying for them, obviously. Is it calming for you
the sound it makes, I really like the texture. It's very soothing.
God,
I don't know what it is.
This is the most random thing I've ever heard, and now I have to kind of check it out, I think.
I watch chiropractor videos. I watch ear cleaning videos.
No, I can't do the ear cleaning.
Yeah, I mean, it gets a little dicey.
Oh, that stuff you can pull out stuff from what I've heard that will be like a mile long.
Oh, people have never stuck anything in their ears to clean them out before. It's crazy.
You ever see the pimple videos?
I'm lukewarm on them. I'm okay on them. Depends on the
mood. There is, I think, maybe nothing more disgusting.
Than the pimple videos?
Than the pimple videos, yes.
Oh, ingrown toenail videos. Love them. Because here's the breaking news. I'm a big pedicure guy. John Summerall, head coach Florida, it was revealed he's into pedicures. I got one over the weekend. That woman cut out my ingrown toenail. I wish I would have videotaped it. I could have made millions on TikTok.
I'm not going to, second time I'm telling the absolute truth here in this segment. Pedicures are amazing.
They are.
Latest Major League Baseball news coming up next. Shohei Ohtani had a fabulous game last night. An odd shifted back in his favor to win the NL MVP, but now there is this.
Let me get your attention real quick, podcast listeners. I've got something for you that almost feels too good to be true. First, credit where credit's due. If you're listening to this podcast, you're already leveling up your betting game. You're riding along with our best bets and top angles. And when there's a good game on, you're getting involved with a few props and alt markets as well. There's one more layer if you really want to step things up, and that's VSiN Pro. I've mentioned it before, but things are only getting better for our pro subscribers. We just rolled out our MLB prop projections, breaking down some of the best edges across strikeouts, hits, home runs, and more. And that's on top of everything else pro subscribers already get, including public betting splits, expert picks, and betting guides across the sports calendar. If you haven't tried it yet, stop sleeping on it. You can get your first month just $9.99 or save big with promo code POD26 on the annual subscription. Hit the link in the description and start cashing in with VSiN Pro. All right, back to the show.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
All right, this is how random Major League Baseball can be. The Phillies and Marlins entered this series earlier in the week. You're making the case for the Phillies long term.
It's a tough case.
The Marlins had lost 12 straight. The Phillies were set up with Wheeler, I'll throw in Nola, and also Lizardo today, who was staked to a 6-0 lead. And the Marlins, of course, swept the Phillies today.
There's some dissension going on, by the way, in case you missed it. Bryce Harper last night calls him out and says, look, we need help. First of all, look at the money that's spent by that ownership on this roster. To ask for help, I think, is a very weak move by the leader of that team. But more importantly, they do need help. They're not that good. They're not that good of a baseball team. And today proves a 6-0 lead. That just tells me you let your foot off the gas. Right? You don't have that instinct to put teams away. Miami couldn't have been playing worse coming into this series. Yeah. How do you get swept by them with so much on the line here?
It's a great question. And they lost pretty much every way imaginable.
Yeah.
They were down early in game one of the series. They came all the way back, had a 2-run lead in the ninth. Their great closer blew it. They lost that game. The next day, Nola is actually really good despite allowing a home run in the first inning. They were just blanked by Alcantara, who was awesome in that game. And then today, a super high scoring game, and They can't hold on to a 6-0 lead overall. It's just what a weird 3-game stretch between those two specific teams. And now you want to talk about weirdness as well in another game going on. Tarek Skubal was staked to a 7-0 lead, cruising along today through 6 innings. We are now in the bottom of the 11th. The Tigers just trailed 9-7, and courtesy of a 2-run shot, we're knotted back up at 9 apiece with 2 outs now in the bottom of the 11th. So this is the kind of game where I think, and just like kind of like trying to forecast how the Tigers could approach this, looking great. We're going to keep Scooble. We got a 7-0 lead. We're winning again. We blanked him yesterday, 14-0. We're not going to trade him. Then all of a sudden that 7-0 lead turns into a 9-7 deficit. You're like, now what are we going to do? The deadline's coming up on August 3rd.
You felt it. By the way, I lost two bets on this game. I bet Scooble over 8.5 Ks, which is a very high number to go over on strikeouts. But to me, there was a couple elements at play. It's not even the audition aspect. He wants to stay in Detroit, so I thought you would get a historic effort out of Scooble today against an Orioles lineup that really didn't scare me on the road. I thought Scooble would have his way with him. For the most part, he did, up until the seventh inning. I also was on the under 7.5 because my thought was, well, Trevor Rogers is on the other end of this thing. At least Rogers will limit Detroit somewhat here, and we'll have a low-scoring game all the way to the end. I am getting ready for the show, and I saw that Detroit was up 7-0, and I was like, okay, I'm okay. Then it's 7-1. I'm like, all right, bet died. I walk in here, it's 7-7.
Yeah.
What the heck happened? By the way, looking at the prediction markets for Tarik Skubal, we do have some movement as far as that is concerned right now. So Skubal, the favorite team to land him is the Dodgers. It's at 39%.
Which makes me throw up in my mouth.
That's plus $1.52. The next team would be Milwaukee. They're 22%. That pays out plus $3.30.
Let's make that happen.
Detroit is down to 10%, which is plus $8.40, which is right around where Tampa is at plus $7.55. Philadelphia is still at around 11-1. The Yankees are around 13-1. Somehow the Braves are around 18-1, which could you, they just lost the Mets first game of a doubleheader day. Could you think of a team that needs him more than the Braves right now?
Interesting.
There are so many teams in the mix for his services, but based on the reports we saw last night, this thing with Ohtani might force the Dodgers to go all in on Skubal.
Yeah, and here's the deal with that. Fabian Ardea, who covers the Dodgers, tweeted this last night, like after the game. In addition to the left knee, both Shohei Ohtani and Dave Roberts said Ohtani's right biceps continues to linger as an issue. It's a factor why he has not thrown another bullpen session since last week. And this is through Shohei's interpreter. He said, quote, my biceps not 100%. Just a similar issue with the knee. Do we consider pushing this? It's still only July, so I think the conversation would be a little different if we're in August or September, end of quote, through his interpreter.
Did the interpreter add if he'd take Pete Crow Armstrong at plus 110 to win MVP?
He said that Ohtani has loaded up on, in fact, PCA to win the MVP. So now it moved back to minus 145. He was $1.30 when I bet that yesterday. He did have a big game last night. He's also,
you called that in the text.
Well, not on the air, but yeah, I text you and Luke about 10 minutes before the game started. I'm like, I think this is going to be a big Ohtani night. Some of the numbers against Castillo and everything like that were just popping off the page, and he did have a huge night last night despite a loss. The second win by the Mariners at Dodger Stadium since 2009.
That's crazy. I saw that floating around there. That's almost like impossible just based on baseball odds here, even though the Dodgers have been what they are. I don't understand a lot of things happening in this MVP market right now. Yesterday, I didn't understand the move of him down to minus 125, unless it was something with the 30 for 30 dropping that implicated him, or if there was an injury. He has the great game, but then we learn about the injury. We learn how concerned the Dodgers are about his future here, at least for the short term. And then he goes up to minus 145. I don't understand that move back up there after now we have some questions about, there could be an IL stint coming in his future.
Yeah, maybe.
And does 2 weeks on the shelf, does that open this thing wide up for someone else to step in?
By the way, I noted this as well. When you look overall at, because in my head, I was wondering, PCA is so elite defensively. Like, how much would that outweigh, if anything, Shohei on the mound? I don't know the answer to that. I'm just throwing it out there, right? And then somebody put the numbers together, and Shohei's pitching run value is 21. PCA's fielding run value is exactly 21 as well.
That's crazy.
The most defensive, like, run saved, outs above replacement, like, in the entire league. He plays that center field position as well as any guy that I've seen in a long, long time in baseball.
So what you're essentially saying is the edge that we've been told that Shohei Ohtani has over everyone as a pitcher is negated exactly by the numbers that PCA is putting out as a fielder. And remember, Ohtani doesn't play the field.
That's right.
That advantage that he seemingly has is not there. I'm not betting PCA plus 110, but people like you have a ticket on him. I think you should feel pretty good about where you sit right now.
Well, yeah, we'll see how this unfolds, obviously, coming up. He also, tonight against Hancock, like, the stuff that Hancock has and Ohtani, like in his wheelhouse, Ohtani is probably going to have a big night again tonight.
Yeah, because he's a contact pitcher. He's going to put something there that Ohtani can do something with. I think the Mariners are handling this deadline wrong, by the way. They're shopping Hancock, but not any of the other guys.
That doesn't make sense.
So they're shopping the guy that can get the least four out of the arms in the rotation? How do you do that when you're so desperate for offense?
Yeah, so here are the numbers overall. Ohtani has a weighted on base this year of 364 against fastballs between 94 and 97 miles an hour. It's a 469 versus the sinker, 387 versus the changeup, and 412 versus a cutter. His ISO numbers with contact are also really good, as are the barrel rates, and that's why could be like last night all over again for Ohtani having a big game. I do have some other – boy, the numbers were jumping off the page today. I hope it's a good day because I got a lot of bets, one of which would be Jose Ramirez. I played his total bases over 1.5 at even money. Career against Singer, 12 of 31, awesome slash line, 5 extra base hits, 3 home runs for Ramirez. He has owned Brady Singer in this overall matchup. But Ramirez is only 5 of 25 since coming back on July 22nd.
Yeah, that game I'm considering the over on right now. It's sitting at 9, Great American Ballpark, ball flying out in the summer. Singer, 2.98 home ERA. Okay, so he's been pretty good there for some reason, but Cleveland got him earlier in the year for 5 earned in 4 innings on May 17th. Cantillo, 4.20 road ERA. Cincinnati back on May 16th, tagged him for 4 earned in 5 innings. And Cincinnati, pretty good OPS, 5th in baseball, 9th in home runs against southpaws. I haven't gotten there, but there's an 8.5 here at Circa. I kind of like that direction there.
Okay. How many bets do you have overall on the card?
Too many, because I've already lost 2 of them.
Okay. We're kind of in the same boat, I think, with how many bets we have. But you typically have like 20, 25 bets a day. I don't go...
Yeah, I'm like 7 to 8 range.
Right now you are?
Yeah, and look, the one that jumped off the page to me that seems so obvious, I can't wait to see how it loses, is I took the Yankees minus 140 last night at the White Sox with Cam Schlittler. Schlittler's better on the road.
His numbers on the road are like Hall of Fame.
It's the greatest pitcher ever. Yep. 108 road ERA. His strikeouts are up 99, 88, 83 and a third. Opponent batting average 160. And the White Sox strike out the 24th most rate in all of baseball. So I went Schlittler over strikeouts. I went Yankees minus 140. I went all in on the Tigers and Scooble earlier. That didn't work out for me. I'd really like to get that back here with the Yankees on the road, where Davis Martin, I love. And I know he was surging in the Cy Young early, but he's been getting hit lately.
Good at home as well.
Yeah.
Okay. But and so I have not bet that one yet. That does seem like kind of a fishy number with Schlittler on the mound. Quickly, I have Cubs, even money
with
Boyd against May. And I'll break down the reason why I like Chicago a little bit later on.
Yeah, I'm joining on that. I really like Matthew Boyd in that matchup. Winner Circle Proxy and VSiN, they're giving away 2 incredible prize packages that will put 2 lucky fans in the world's biggest football contest for free. One winner gets $1,000 entry into Circa Survivor. Another $1,000 entry into Circa Million. Both winners also get a full season of Winner Circle Proxy service, a VSiN studio tour, and a free month of VSiN Pro. Enter by Sunday, August 2nd for your chance to win. Visit winnercircleproxy.com/VSiN to enter today.
So PGA continues this week. We go to the Rocket Classic in Detroit. Last week, it was the 3M in Minneapolis. Jeff Seeley did hit that one on the air with us last week. Jackson Coivin was the winner, but Jeff is traveling today. He can't make the program. We will turn our attention to the event with Spencer Aguiar, who's going to join the program. We'll get his best bets, his model for this week, who he likes at the very top, and how he is betting it coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The PGA Tour goes from the 3M, staying in the Midwest, now to the Rocket Classic this week. We'll try to get some winners as we go out to the Progressive Guest Line. Spencer Aguiar joins the program now. TeeOffSports.club is the website. You can follow him on X at TeeOffSports as well, a Las Vegas resident as well. Spencer, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be able to do these shows with you guys at VSiN. So excited to be here today.
We appreciate it, especially on short notice today. So let's begin with this specific tournament, obviously the Rocket Classic, the course itself, and kind of some key stats, in your opinion, that you had to plug into the model this week as a result.
Yeah, this is a tricky course. Like anybody who's deep into the golf landscape and understanding of what's going on with this venue. So it's Detroit Golf Club this week. It used to be a par 72. It's going to be a par 70 for this iteration of it. And kind of one of the things that I've talked quite a bit about this week is par is a very arbitrary number. You could change par and it doesn't necessarily change the actual strokes gained projections that come into play. But when you start tinkering with the layout and the venue and everything that comes into play in that nature, it does make a tricky course to try to handicap. And as somebody who's ever heard me on this show or seen my writing or heard me on another podcast, you will know I'm very data-driven. I'm very analytical in my approach. And when you remove a lot of the long-term data that you're able to pull from for where, you know, restoration architect Tyler Ray did a complete overhaul of this venue for this year, you're going to have new green complexes. You have repositioned bunkers. There's yardages that are changed between holes. Then you get that new scorecard that I talked about at the very beginning. I think of all of those answers, the more pressing matter that I would like to talk about on this show is the repositioned bunkers. Detroit Golf Club has always been this venue where you've been able to bomb and gouge away. There's really no penalties for missing off the tee. And that's the very first thing that Tyler Ray tried to do in this reconstruction is go back in time, make it the way that Donald Ross, who was the original architect of this course, saw it to be for professional golf. So we moved a lot of bunkers into zones where players now hit the ball in modern day golf. I think that does change the landscape overall of what you are kind of looking for. It doesn't mean that I went in and did a massive overhaul in my model for the strokes gain metrics. I think when you try to reproject and reanalyze where the dispersion of scoring marks are going to land, you often fall flat and ended up failing with it. But I did change a little bit more of like the concrete details that went into certain specific statistics. So like for off the tee, for example, it's a lot less distance heavy than I would normally get in my model. I looked at total driving. I looked at driver heavy courses where you do need to find a fairway now and what happens when you land in a bunker. And I mean, those are things that unfortunately for this tournament, this is the last go around of it. I know that it's not on the schedule next year, but typically in these spots, the more information you can get and the more stats that come into play, the more that I would like it from a betting perspective. And we don't have a lot of that here this week.
What do you think of the field this week, Spence? A bit different than last week when Scottie Scheffler was under 3-1, and then the next player on the board was Kurt Kitayama, of all people. Mm. Now, Scheffler's not playing. Cam Young is your favorite now. So it's essentially like getting to play in a winner without Scottie Market for a full tournament.
It is. I will say this, though, for what you typically get at this event, I thought they got a really good field. You get a major champion in Wyndham Clark. From this season, like JJ Spahn from last year at the US Open, Cantlay, Young, as you talked about, Goddard, who's won multiple times on tour, Henley, Siwoo Kim, Xander, like there's a lot of names here. So I think that for what this event is, you did get more star power than you would normally expect for a tournament like this. And with there being a lot of questions on the board, one of the things that I noticed, like as the odds are on the screen right now, you do have Cameron Young that has fallen into the sub 10-1 range. He opened up a little bit over 10-1 to begin the week. I know some sharp money's hit him down, but you kind of get a board from 16-50-1 that is a pick your poison sort of spot. And I thought there were a handful of names. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily the ones that are going to be able to get across the finish line, but I thought there were a handful of names that drifted a little bit too far off up the board for one reason or another.
Okay, well, let's dive into that then. Where do you want to start your betting card this week? Like, how far do you want to actually work down and then grab somebody?
So I have three outright bets at this particular time of filming. They range between 50-1 to 100-1. Always shop around and try to find the best number that you can in the space. But the very first ticket that I punched this week was on Nicolai Højgaard. I was able to get him at 50-1. It has fallen into the 40 since Monday. I think Højgaard's a really boom or bust commodity for this tournament. And it's a funny answer for me to give because I do have other exposure to him than just in the outright market. I ended up taking him in a matchup against Harris English this week at minus 110. But there were a lot of upside metrics for him in my sheet that really liked the long-term fit for him at Detroit Golf Club. in the way that I projected the course versus what you've gotten from him recently. So there were seven main categories that I weighed for this event. Weighted strokes gained total is essentially just a re-encapsulation of where the expected dispersion of scoring comes from that I was talking about. So what that means in a little bit easier to understand terms is when you look at this course historically, if off the tee approach around the green and putting are your four main metrics where you're trying to gain strokes, how have those stats from a dispersion standpoint laid out for a fit of a player? And so Nikolai Højgaard was the fifth best fit in that area, third best ball striker in my model. And then the area that he really popped is he was the number one player for driving when you also mix it in with long and short iron proximity that are going to come into play. And so the reason why the long and short iron proximities are so important this week is you're going to have some of the par fours. And by the way, for this answer to begin with, like if you look at past iterations of it, you always had a course that had this uptick from within 100 yards from your proximity buckets. You got a couple of these par fours that even got a little bit shorter than normal that are going to play sub 350 yards now. So I think his ability to score from that range is really pronounced. And then where it comes into play even more so for him that I think he can salvage a score is some of these par fives got turned into long par fours. And he's also one of the best long iron players in my model. So number one overall player for me in that area. Overall rank places him just outside the top 15 if you're looking at this from like a matchup rating system. But top 10 player for me when it came to an upside win equity perspective, that's where I was able to land on a little bit of value with him.
What about the other guys you like outright to win this thing? Who stood out when you punched the numbers into the model?
I liked Michael Thorbjørnsen. He ended up drifting this week. I know he opened at some books in the 30s, and I've seen him drift out into the 50s at a handful of locations at Circa right now, 42-1, which I still think is actually a number that you can consider. I had this proper in the 30-1 range. Somebody who did come fourth place last year, if you do want to use any semblance of course history, which I would generally point against that direction because of the changes. I think Thorbjørnsen's a golfer. When you look at his game type and you look at his skill set, there is so much to like about him. And he consistently keeps finding these rounds or holes in particular where there's a blow up that ends up ensuing for him that he ends up dropping down the leaderboard. The one thing that I like about Detroit Golf Club here for him is there's no water that's going to come into play. So you can remove that from the equation right away. Top 15 player in my model for weighted proximity. Just pure distance. If we want to just like talk about the distance answer, he's going to be a top 15 player there. And then look at him on off the tee courses that are easy and driver heavy venues. He's 12th in my model in both of those two areas. So, you know, the putter is going to have to cooperate for him more than it typically does. The one upside to that is 95th in my model from a baseline perspective for him with the flat stick over the last 2 years. But when you put him on the same green complexes as he gets this week, he jumps up to 44th overall. Sometimes that's all you need is one of these outlier statistics to move in the right direction for a player. And as everybody knows who bets on golf, putting is such a volatile statistic from round to round and from tournament to tournament that I think there is upside to be found here from Thorbjørnsen. The other one that I ended up betting was Jackson Suber at 100-1. That number is not available anymore for anybody in the space. And I don't think it's necessarily proper for where it's at. So I don't want to do a ton of talking about it. It's actually pretty decent at Circa. I think 84 might be the best that you can find in the space, but there's a lot of locations out there where he's like in the 60s at this point.
Very good. Spencer, only like 30 seconds left here, but nothing on Jackson Koivun, who won last week, is going to be the next big thing here on tour. What would you need to bet him like top 10, top 20?
I think you get an overcorrection of the market sometimes when a player wins. I think Koivun's upside is as high as it can be from a long-term perspective. Really like him. I actually think as people are going in the other direction on him, you might be able to find an opening if he does slip up for a tournament or two. But love the talent, love the potential that he brings, and he might be the one that ends up dethroning Scheffler to be the number one player in the world.
I don't disagree. Excellent spot. TeeOffSports.club is the site. On X at TeeOffSports. That was awesome, Spencer. Thanks for the time. Good luck this week.
Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
We'll hit Big Ten Media Week as it continues today. I think the strategy to bet this team on a future ticket is just to wait. We'll get into that coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Thanks for checking in today. Mitch Moss, along with Dustin Sweetelson, Paulie Howard's on vacation. We'll get to college football. Big Ten Media Days continue. Dustin pivoted. He changes national title winner. He has a bet on them now, I think, and I don't like it. That's coming up in a few minutes. So this game, like 20 seconds ago now, is in the books. Folks, with Tarik Skubal on the mound today, the Detroit Tigers led the Baltimore Orioles by a score of 7-0. Thanks to Robert for tweeting the show. You can always tweet us at VSIN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, at Dustin Sweetelson. According to this win probability, this must be on MLB.com, the Orioles were at 0.8% to win the game. I'm willing to bet that some sports books took the money line off the board, actually. And it's over now. The Orioles just beat them 10-9 in 11 innings.
Well, you know what else is over? The Detroit Tigers season. Because you can't do that. You can't blow a start where Skubal is out there. I'm starting to believe all the talk of them really not wanting to trade him wasn't real. It was to build up the market, to build up the demand, to make these teams more desperate, to quote-unquote convince them to make him available. This is the reason why. Today is the reason why. Because it's just not their year.
This was the backbreaker today?
You're not going to make up all this ground. And to do it against the Orioles, so by the way, they punked last night. They scored someone tweeted us last night. I think the Tigers scored every inning yesterday.
I think that's right, yeah.
That never happens.
No, it never happens to baseball. No, it's really
team,
tough to do.
Sometimes you have to look in the mirror and admit you're just not good enough. They're 51-57. They're six games below 500. I get the division stinks. I get the wild cards right there and the American League's wide open. They're four games out. Four games feels like the spot where you go, you know what? We have too many teams to jump for us to really make a push.
Okay, so what are you noticing right now, prediction market-wise?
Yeah.
Because we've had some movement in the last, like, I'm not joking, 3 minutes, not even that amount of time since the game ended on the Tigers to actually keep him.
Yeah, so Detroit went from 10% to 8%.
Just like that.
Yeah, that means if you want to bet them from a betting side, it's about 10-1, almost 11-1 in the market, plus 1073. The Dodgers have dropped three here. They've gone from 41% to 38%. And based on a little green number I'm seeing next to Milwaukee, they're up to 23%. I don't believe that's an 11% jump from today. But either way, Milwaukee is surging. If you wanted to bet it, it pays plus 330. The Dodgers pays plus 152. And then after that, it's anyone's ballgame. We are talking about the Rays at 10%. We're talking about the Cubs at 8%, the Phillies at 7%. Someone is going to trade for Tarik Skubal. And I think Detroit's going to be able to choose whether they want ready-made guys right now or they're going to get prospects to build for the future. They will have every team's best offer ready to go probably tonight.
Yeah, Milwaukee can absolutely make this happen. Milwaukee is loaded in their farm system. And they have great young players on that team contributing already this year. I don't know how many of them they want to get rid of. I think they could probably like dive into that farm system overall.
You know what? That's good. Maybe that's why. So we were talking in the break. I bet Milwaukee, because I thought Shane Drohan was pitching today. It's not. It is someone by the name of Thomas Pannone, I believe it is. He's a prospect. Maybe they were showcasing him for Detroit in a potential deal.
Interesting. To anybody but the Dodgers. But L.A.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are plus 190. Does Skubal move them to an odds on? Do they go Mike laying a number?
Yes. Well, what are they right now to win the National League?
They're probably pretty close.
Because
they
will absolutely go to odds on if they would get him.
Let's see.
I don't know where they would go. Probably not that
plus
far.
Plus 105.
Oh, they're minus one. How big of a move? Minus 125?
Yeah, and Luke confirms, by the way, plus 11% for Milwaukee's correct.
Today?
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. There's some steam here.
I'm telling you.
Brewers are 4.5-1 to win the NL. 4.5-1.
But here's the thing. I need them to acquire Skubal for me to make that bet. I can't bet that number without Skubal because they will not beat the Dodgers without him.
With Skubal, they probably go down to 3-1.
Maybe a little bit higher. Maybe
3.5.
Yeah, 3.5 maybe, something like that.
So you're losing $1 there on the bet.
Yeah.
So you might as well just wait. Like it's not going to be that drastic of a jump. They won't catapult to the favorite. They only have one team in front of them, the Dodgers. So I'd probably wait here.
So they're going to get a bye. They're on pace to have a bye anyway in the playoffs,
yes,
which means they have to win one series in theory before they would get the Dodgers. And I'd probably still at that point, if you told me right now I can get plus 350 after they get Skubal, I would be intrigued.
How do you feel about the fact that Skubal's come out and says he doesn't want to leave and he wants to stay in Detroit? would that bother you if you're a Brewers backer that the guy they're getting is, look, it's his job, it's his profession, but he's kind of begrudgingly there?
No, that means nothing to me.
Yeah.
No, it really does. Because I think most players in his spot would probably say the same thing.
Yeah.
But as soon as that guy gets traded, then he's probably going to have an even bigger edge that he's going to pitch with for the rest of the year, that chip on the shoulder, so to speak.
Also, from a just a strategy perspective, 4.5-1 to win the NL, 9-1 to win the World Series. Well, 4.5-1, you're going to have to get through the Dodgers. Why not just bet 9-1 to win the World
Series?
That's
probably the better play, because you're going to like whoever they take on in the American League then, right?
Yeah.
They're a better team than anybody in the AL.
And
so,
if you're betting them plus 450 to win the NL, it means you're betting them to beat the Dodgers, which is the hardest thing that we're trying to figure out here with all these teams. I've had the Brewers every year for the last 4 years at big numbers. I don't have anything this year. Do I dare do it? Because I've been the kiss of death the second I believe these teams have fallen apart.
Well, okay. So, side note for the Tigers. You need to make a move, because you can't possibly go into the offseason and get nothing for Tarek Skubal.
No, no.
You cannot take the same path that the Angels did with Ohtani.
No, no. And you know, the James Wood, CJ Abrams situation in Washington should be jumping out to you. By the way, those weren't the top guys in the deal. There was another player.
Mackenzie Gore.
There was a fourth. I believe it was Robert Hassel.
Mm.
He was thought to be the best prospect in the deal. The other three have been major leaguers, you know, been good.
Sure.
And if you're Detroit, a pitcher's a little bit different. You're probably not getting four guys that are going to make an impact like that, but you can get two. You should be able to get two. And then the thing that I'd wonder about Milwaukee, if they go all in on Skubal, they theoretically have enough in that system. If they wanted Mason Miller,
they could pull off both.
And you know what? Most years I'm concerned about the power and the offense for the Brewers. I'm not. They are a team that makes contact. They are a team that's very athletic. We're talking going first to third. We're talking about stealing bases.
Right.
The recipe is all that. I think I'm talking myself into the Brewers 9-1, but I am oversaturated in this market currently.
You also talked yourself into a new national title winner in college football last night. You made a bet on the Oregon Ducks. That's your team now?
I'm in on Oregon. I'm not trolling you, I promise.
What convinced you?
Couple things. The more you dive into the situation with Dan Lanning and Phil Knight, more importantly, they are so all in on this year.
Yeah, but I've heard that. That's something I've heard about for the last 5 years.
Returning starting quarterback. Returning on the D-line. All of these monsters that are going to disrupt every team they face. Every team they play is going to have to play their style of a game. They've got two guys up front that should be in the NFL. Bear Alexander. Amari Washington, who definitely could have been a first-round pick a year ago. Uiagalelei's brother's there. He had 6 sacks a year ago. He had 10.5 in 24. Linebacking core is awesome. They filled whatever holes they had in the secondary in the portal. And then offensively, Evan Stewart is a burner. He returns from injury. Dakarian Moore is back after he missed the last 4 games, but was tremendous. They have a redshirt freshman they like. They brought in a kid from UAB who put up really good numbers that people are comparing to Tez Johnson. The O-line is always good. They're going to run the football. They're going to dominate at the point of attack. And I'm a Dan Lanning guy. I believe in Dan Lanning. If you look, who did they lose to the last 2 years? They got knocked out by the eventual national champions. Some would say they are building for the moment. This is the year they get over the hump.
Blah, 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 blah. Good luck. I wish you all the luck in the world with Oregon to win it this year.
Hey.
What?
No, I get it. I get it, but Miami was this close last year.
That's true. Indiana won the whole thing. That's all you need to know. So this is the team I was talking about before the break, by the way, in the Big Ten. It is Media Days. It's the entire week, actually. So let's just call it Media Week now in college football. But y'all probably know about how difficult the Buckeye schedule is this year. Like, if you want to bet them, they're good enough certainly to win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I think here's the question I have. Rather than betting them right now, or for those who like to get involved in cross-sport parlays and you love this team this year, they have losses on that schedule. Like, they play at Indiana. I don't think at Iowa is a loss, but they play at Texas second week of the year. They're at USC after their bye. They get Oregon, Michigan late, obviously. Don't you think you can get a much better number on Ohio State? I don't know, around the bye or in that neighborhood than you can right now to win the whole thing?
If they lose at Texas, you'll definitely get a great number. You'll definitely get a great number.
It'll go up a little bit at that point.
And I want to ask you about them later, because sometimes you have to acknowledge when you have a bias. I am very anti-Ohio State, and I've been very anti-Julian Sayin, but I think it's inevitable. He's going to be one of the people invited to the Heisman ceremony, And on that theory alone, do you have to place a bet for him? Because he will be in the conversation when all is said and done. The sports calendar never stops. The sharp plays, they cover it all. They've been winning for 15 straight years, all of it documented. Logs posted publicly at sharpplays.com. When the sharp plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com today.
Follow the money on VSiN, the sports betting network. Up next, NFL news to go over, including odds for Vita Vea's next team. And one of the best coaches on one of the best teams was asked about his interest in Vea. You're going to hear his answer coming up next here on the sports betting network.